You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week in Australia, the New South Wales government condemned a Sydney primary school whose students made Black Lives Matter and anti-police violence posters for their classrooms. The students of Linfield Learning Village, a large public primary school in Sydney, made the posters as part of an exercise which required them to reflect on recent Indigenous histories. The posters used phrases like Black Lives Matter, Justice Now, and Stop Killer Cops. I spoke to Jason Wong, the president of the Linfield Learning Village Parents and Citizens Association, about the purpose of the exercise.
The exercise, well, I don't have any children that were in the stage that this was taught, but the principal has given us an update on it. So my understanding was the children were studying contemporary Aboriginal history, and they were doing a pre-learning exercise where the students were asked to identify what they already knew, basically, from different perspectives. So they were asked to look at various information sources, including mainstream media, and a couple of them found some pictures which they then replicated into those posters. And they were then asked to empathise with and then critically analyse that perspective, and asked to think about in relation to the posters that they produced. They were asked to think about why do you think these posters were made and whether or not they were successful in achieving their aims. So that's what I understand. And I think, so from a PNC and parents' perspective, well, I think it's fantastic. I mean, this is exactly what our children should be doing. You know, they should be having a look at what's out there, what's being discussed as topical in society, and then studying it, analysing it, reflecting on it, and then drawing their own conclusions.
Following this exercise, Australia's Daily Telegraph released a story with the headline, School Warned Over Anti-Police Pro-BLM Posters. This was on Linfield Learning Village being condemned by government officials for undertaking this exercise with their students. New South Wales government officials had said that teachers found politicising their classrooms would face disciplinary action, and a full review is currently being made into the incident. The New South Wales Minister for Education and Early Childhood Learning supplied a statement to Australia's Seven News on the issue and said that politics has no place in the classroom. David Elliott, the New South Wales Minister for Police and Emergency, told Seven News' breakfast television program Sunrise that the exercise at Linfield Learning Village was nothing short of indoctrination. He said, quote, "I do not want to see taxpayers' money going into an alleged education where children are going to walk away thinking somehow police are racist," unquote. He says that education must be apolitical. Jason Wong from the Linfield Learning Village Parents and Citizens Association says that despite the government and media backlash, the parents and school community are still very much in support of Linfield Learning Village, its principal and its teachers.
The parent community here at Linfield Learning Village is overwhelmingly in support of the principal and the teaching team. They're all pretty angry and frustrated at the original media report, and are all uniting in solidarity with each other behind the principal and her teachers, because we think the school's fantastic.
Jason then goes on to speak about the response from the government and the media.
So from what I can understand, in terms of the government, I can recall a pretty feisty response from the Minister for Police. And I did see a comment attributed to the Minister for Education. I can't really comment on the Minister for Police other than, look, he's entitled to his opinion. He's obviously seen what was reported in the Daily Telegraph. It probably would have been better if he'd maybe understood the context a little further, but I think the principal of the school has invited him to come out to the school and have a look at what the school does and how and maybe address some of his questions. In terms of the Minister for Education, yes, I did see one quote from her, but I suppose essentially or similar. Like, I don't understand the full context of those comments regarding, I think you're talking about, you know, politics should be kept out of the classroom. I suppose it depends on what you define politics as. I think if she's talking about presenting and teaching topics with a consistently biased view towards certain political perspectives, then she's absolutely right. You know, in my 9.5 years across 3 schools of this Department of Education, I've never seen a teacher do that. But if you see, you know, if you think of politics as teaching students about what politics actually is and how it influences our society and how it influences major decisions, then yes, our children should be learning about this and they should be critically analysing it and drawing their own conclusions. With the posters in question, I personally don't believe the posters were political. I think they were taken from mainstream media and they represent topical social issues that our children should be aware of and, you know, really should be discussing with their parents and their peers.
Since the story hit the headlines, Lynfield Learning Village principal Stephanie McConnell has apologised for the posters made by the students. I was hooked by this story. The sentiment, politics has no place in the classroom, really intrigued me. And I started thinking, where does Aotearoa stand on the inclusion of political information and discourse in the classroom and in the curriculum? I spoke to Victoria University of Wellington Senior Lecturer in Education, specialising in curriculum education policy and youth politics, Bronwyn Wood. We discussed how political issues are dealt with in New Zealand schools and what teachers need to do to ensure classroom discussions are impartial and non-biased.
Well, whether the Minister recognises it or not, our classrooms are inherently political. Even the shape of the design of them or the curriculum choices that teachers make, all of those are political acts because they reflect the type of values that both schools hold, that governments hold, and that school communities hold. So we actually cannot remove politics from schools, whether we like it or not.
So how is political discussion dealt with in New Zealand schools?
Well, my experience is in social studies education, and this is where we do get into the realm of both controversial issues and political studies of sorts, because the type of issues we even select for our students to learn are inherently political. For example, we've had big debates recently in New Zealand about whether to teach New Zealand histories, but even making that decision to teach the history of Aotearoa New Zealand to our students is a political act because for many years teachers have taught Tudor and Stuart England as a choice instead. So those are actually value-laden choices that teachers are making all the time. Even the novels that you choose in English are a value-laden kind of choice. But what we do in social studies is encourage our teachers with a range of strategies to face political and contentious issues that come up in the classroom. So I've just taught a group of teacher trainees out in school now about 6 different strategies of how to deal with controversy, and we go through roles like playing the devil's advocate or playing a neutral judge on an issue, and about 6 of these roles we actually workshop so that they become more adept at the type of politics which can emerge in the topics that we encounter in the classroom.
Is there anything that New Zealand schools deem to be too political and aren't talked about in classrooms? Is there something in the curriculum that's like, oh no, we just don't go there?
Well, interestingly, we don't have anything named as such. In Singapore, they have OBTs, which are out-of-bound topics that teachers are not allowed to go near. So we're not anywhere near that. What I encourage my teachers to do is to find issues which are very politically hot, to navigate those with some care. So, for example, euthanasia or abortion, these are really politically hot and moral issues in society. And I would encourage teachers to consider carefully the classroom context and schooling context which they're in as they're wading into those kind of discussions. But by and large, we're pretty open in New Zealand and pretty up for bringing these kind of issues in, and then what we ask our teachers to do is deal with them with care, with respect, and to encourage the type of empathy and citizenship responses that we want of all our people of New Zealand.
A core problem that has sort of popped up with this Australian case was that officials were concerned that there were biases being used by the teachers to encourage students to think a certain way, for example, be anti-police, and that potentially would lead to students being scared of police in the future. How do you deal with that idea of trying to be as impartial as possible as a teacher in a classroom, talking about hot topics, social, political issues that are very relevant today?
Yeah, well, it is a issue which requires ethical know-how and moral judgment on the behalf of teachers, which we cannot legislate for. We encourage them to reach these decisions based on broad principles of respect and human rights and social justice and equity for all. But the type of thing I would encourage teachers to do is to open up the topics in ways which encourage the contested nature of these ideas to be voiced, so that students know that there are different positions rather than, you know, telling them exactly how to think. And so we call this teaching through multiple perspectives within our curriculum area, and we encourage it a lot. We also have in New Zealand a senior social studies social action achievement standard, where for credits students are asked to take personal social action. So this inherently requires them to take a stance on an issue, whether it's refugees or climate or, you know, a topical issue of their times. But what we encourage them to do is to do that in a reflective and thoughtful manner, so that they can see the implications of their thoughts and actions upon other people. So we form quite a reflective an ethical kind of inquiry approach to these issues, so that students can arise with good, firm understandings of that issue and therefore the implications of some of their actions. So, yeah, we place a high rate of trust on our students to do that in a way that is both empathetic and respectful of people around them.
Another thing that I have to talk about, that in this case in Australia, it was primary school students, and perhaps somebody might say that primary school students are young and perhaps don't have, I don't know, don't have the experience or don't have the ability to make that stand themselves. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that primary school students have just as much of a right and ability to go out and make their choices and decisions about these things just as much as high school students?
Yes, definitely. I've talked to 5 and 6-year-olds who are forming opinions about the world as they see it, and often and with guidance of adults around them, come up with some very thought-provoking responses to some of the biggest issues that they're facing. It's not so much an age and stage of development that enables you to think critically. It's more a disposition across all ages to think about what needs addressing and therefore what we could do ourselves to take action on this.
Just sort of finally wanted to touch on the fact that this exercise that the students were doing in the Sydney Primary School was that students were asked to reflect on recent Indigenous histories. What do you think sort of the response of the New South Wales government? Do you think that shows anything about the politicisation of certain issues such as Indigenous or people of colour issues in comparison to majority white issues?
Well, what I would say is around the world, if we look at the moment, the Black Lives Matter has caught the imagination across multiple countries because it has so much resonance and so much need to be addressed. And so in New Zealand, we can see this with Indigenous issues on the rise, and also in Australia. And basically, the government need to realise that these are the issues of our times that the young people, whether they like it or not, are facing and need to form some positions on. So, yeah, I'm completely up for students taking on these issues and thinking them through as some of the greatest issues of our times.
I also wanted to hear from some representatives of teachers currently working in New Zealand's education system to hear their thoughts on the story involving Lynfield Primary School and whether politics has a place in New Zealand classrooms. I reached out to the New Zealand Principal Federation and NZEI, Te Reo Roa, the education union, for this. A spokesperson for the New Zealand Principal Federation provided comment. Quote, New Zealand schools do not view student participation in social issues as politicising classrooms. Many New Zealand schools supported their students in participating in public protest marches on climate change in New Zealand, which was one of the biggest protest actions we've seen in a long time. Most of our schools, which are self-managing schools, would want students to be aware of social issues such as climate change and origins and effects of racism, and indeed other social issues. Because our schools are self-managing, each school and its community, through its board of trustees, will have its own view on the appropriateness of students taking time off school to participate in public protest action. Unquote. I also spoke with NZEI, Te Reo Roa, the Education Union, President Liam Rutherford, to provide their perspective on the issue.
So teachers and principals are always looking for really rich and authentic learning opportunities. And so where you've got students coming to you wanting to play a role as an active citizen, teachers typically encourage that type of opportunity. What teachers are really constantly aware of is their own bias. And so to that extent, we know that students have had really successful learning opportunities around getting involved in wider societal issues, and we would see that as a good thing.
So this issue in Australia came out of an exercise in which students were asked to reflect on recent Indigenous history. Does the response by the New South Wales government perhaps show a greater politicisation of Indigenous and people of colour issues rather than white majority issues, perhaps?
I think the fundamental issue there is that we've got people regarding understanding your own local history as something political. It shouldn't be. I mean, students should have an entitlement to understand the Indigenous history of the land and where they're from. We wouldn't see that as anything overly political. We would see that as a right of what all students should be experiencing as a part of a well-balanced curriculum.
And I think that that question of what is political and what is not is particularly interesting, considering I know a number of students look at climate change and environmental issues day to day in their classroom, and even this last weekend it being Anzac Day and surrounding remembering the wars. That's a political issue, I suppose, in itself. So that must be an interesting dynamic to try and sort of address what is political, what is social, what does need to be talked about in the classroom.
Yeah, and I think you can definitely traverse those topics without a teacher imposing their view. They do it all the time, and it is that constant awareness of your own bias that teachers take into those conversations. But where you've got students that are particularly excited and charged up over wanting to take action within their community, I mean, those are the best opportunities that we have to have really good quality learning experiences with students.
Would introducing a civics class under the curriculum make for a more standardised way of talking about political or social issues, and perhaps rub out those problems that people have with perhaps teachers making an impression on students in terms of their political views?
So we do have civics education within the social sciences curriculum, and so during a child's time in the education system, they should be experiencing that as laid out through the social sciences curriculum. What we don't have is a huge amount of consistency, and what we're seeing through a number of changes that the government has made around the introduction of, consultation they're currently going through around the education Aotearoa histories curriculum, brings to life that role of being an active citizen as we explore our history and what that means for New Zealand moving forward. And so I think we are heading into a time where we will see greater emphasis on that.
I have also reached out to the Minister of Education, Chris Hipkins, and the Associate Minister, Jan Tinetti, to hear their position on politics in classrooms. I want to speak to them particularly about the New South Wales Government's response to Lynfield Learning Village's exercise on reflecting on Indigenous histories, and whether disciplining teachers for politicising classrooms is appropriate action in a governmental sense. I hope to follow this piece up next week with an interview with one of the ministers. In this piece on the story with Lynfield Learning Village and their political exercise, I spoke to Jason Wong from the Parents and Citizens Community from Lynfield Learning Village. I also spoke to Victoria of University Wellington Senior Lecturer in Education, Bronwyn Wood, and NZEI Te Reo Roa President Liam Rutherford. About where Aotearoa stands on whether politics has a place in the classroom.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.